Well, Turkish authorities say they've arrested a suspected member of the Islamic State group who they believe was planning to attack the Anzac commemorations at Gallipoli, be attended by hundreds of Anzacs and Australians and New Zealanders. Turkish security forces have told the ABC that the 25-year-old man was preparing bombs in retaliation for the Christchurch mosque terrorist attack last month. On this Anzac Day, there's a political truce during this election campaign as Australia remembers the sacrifice and service of our war veterans. Politicians have joined dawn services around the country, including Darren Chester, who is the Minister for Veterans Affairs. He's just been attending the service in Traralgon in Victoria. Minister, welcome back to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Minister, can I go first to this threat to the Gallipoli service on Anzac Cove? What can you tell us about this threat?
Well, little more than you've already reported, Fran. I'm aware the Australian Department of Veterans Affairs and the New Zealand Defence Force, which are the joint lead agencies involved in organising the commemorative activity on the peninsula, are aware that the Turkish National Police have arrested an individual who's alleged to have been involved in activities that were designed to disrupt the Anzac Day services at Gallipoli, but that is primarily a matter for the Turkish authorities. We work very closely with the local Turkish authorities on the security arrangements for the Anzac Day commemorations and understand that the planning and the preparations for the commemorative event at Gallipoli are continuing this morning.
Okay, there was already heightened security for those for that commemoration. The Turkish government had already banned Turkish nationals from attending the official dawn service. Only registered foreigners and Turkish dignitaries would be there. So clearly they had concerns anyway. In the wake of this latest threat, has Australia received intelligence and assurances that it is still safe to attend the service in Gallipoli?
The travel advice for Turkey hasn't changed in terms of we encourage people to exercise a high degree of caution.
That's a bit different, though, the general travel advice to in the wake of this specific threat.
No, the point I'm going to make, though, Fran, is we work closely with the local Turkish authorities on the security arrangements. It's not unprecedented that Turkish nationals, local citizens, are discouraged from attending the service. That's occurred previously. We need to put the appropriate arrangements in place with the local authorities. There's a great deal of respect between our local organising authorities and the Turks in terms of making sure the event proceeds without incident. And we are very respectful of the fact that Australian and New Zealand people who attend the commemorative service are there as guests of the Turkish people, and the way those events are commemorated on the peninsula is very symbolic and very important to us, but the way that the Turkish community supports us in doing that is something that we greatly appreciate.
Indeed, but I'm just thinking, you know, in the wake of the Sri Lankan bombings, and now we've got this arrest the Turkish authorities have let us know about, has Australia received intelligence from the Turkish government that they are confident it is now safe?
Well, I've received no other advice other than that I referred to earlier, that one person has been arrested for these alleged activities, and the arrangements being put in place, the normal security arrangements being put in place to move people on and off the peninsula in the manner in which it's been done in the past. So, I mean, we take the security provisions obviously very seriously, and we work closely with the local Turkish authorities. It is a bit difficult for me to perhaps provide commentary from thousands of kilometres away, other than to say that this is an issue that we take particularly seriously. And I would note that obviously the tragic events in Christchurch had nothing to do with the events of 1915 on the peninsula, and there's a great deal of respect between the Turkish people and Australian New Zealanders, and it's reflected in the way we hold those commemorative activities at Anzac Cove each Anzac Day.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 22:08. Our guest is the Federal Veterans Affairs Minister, Darren Chester. Minister, you've just been to the dawn service in your electorate, one of them in Traralgon. There are a lot more younger veterans these days, obviously, and fewer who live through the horrors of the world wars. Is that changing the way we mark this day?
Well, I think you raise a really good point that the veterans are a very diverse group. I mean, as a Minister for Veterans Affairs, I'll hold round tables on a regular basis, and I'll be talking to veterans who served and survived World War II. But in the same conversation, there'll be a 21 or 22-year-old who has some experience in Afghanistan. So their needs are very different. And the way we conduct our commemorative activities and the way we provide support services to them needs to reflect that diversity. And I think it's terrific to go to a dawn service like the one I've just been to here in Traralgon and see so many young faces in the crowd, so civilians who are there to pay their respect, but also to see some of our younger veterans attending and walking side by side with veterans of the World War II or Vietnam era.
Do you think perhaps for too long we've stayed too focused on the past? past on the First World War and perhaps even the Second World War. I noticed in one of your announcements in this election campaign, there's some money for community grants focusing on Second World War and more recent wars. Is the government looking at trying, and perhaps in response to veterans groups asking you to shift the focus, to have greater recognition for the returned soldiers who are returning today and 5 years ago and 10 years ago?
There's a lot in what you've just asked, friend. There's obviously, I think 20 or 30 years ago, there was a conversation that when the last of the World War I veterans passed away, that would be the end of Anzac Day, when in fact the exact reverse has happened, where people have been keen to get out in their many, many thousands and show their respect to those who served in the past, but also those who serve today. So I think there's a strong recognition within the Australian community that the Australian Defence Force personnel do a great deal to keep us safe in an ever-changing world, and they respect that, and they want to show that respect on a more regular basis. Now, but in terms of how the community activities are conducted, we do want to see our younger veterans participate, because it's important that after they finish their service in the military, they see that their contribution is well recognised, and it's part of that transition into civilian life that was part of their life, and now they've moved on to another role in the community, and they can have a successful career beyond the military.
Okay.
Most military careers are less than 10 years, so it's important that they have the opportunity to have a successful second career.
Well, in terms of support for returning soldiers, servicemen and women, the Department of Veterans Affairs has been under heavy fire, really, for how it supports veterans and their families. Late last year, the Productivity Commission recommended the department be abolished, saying it was outdated. The final report from the Commission is due in June. What's the government's policy? What's the Coalition's policy? Are you considering abolishing the DVA?
Well, that's not the government's policy. That's a draft recommendation from the Productivity Commission.
What do you think of it, though?
Well, our policy is for a standalone DVA. I've been working very closely with DVA over the last 14 months since I took on the role, and I must say I've been very impressed with the transformation we're undertaking. I'm not saying for a second that everything's perfect, but what I would say is that Australians, so everyday Australians, can be very proud of the way we do treat our veterans. We provide more than $11 billion per year to support veterans and their families, so Australians should be proud that their taxpayer dollars are being put to good use to support veterans. But there's always more we can be doing, and that's why I need to work closely with veterans of all ages and understand concerns they may have, and then work with my department to make sure the services we provide reflect the needs of the veteran community.
Some of these investigations have been launched by or come in the wake of the impact of the death of a young serviceman called Jesse Bird. His mother, Karen Bird, has pushed and pushed for more attention to look at how the department mishandled Jesse and his return serviceman and his return. Next week, we'll get the Victorian coroner, Jackie Hawkins, an inquiry into the deaths of veterans, also triggered by the suicide of Jesse Bird, a young Afghan vet, in 2017. Jesse's mother, Karen, will be joining us after 8. Your predecessor, Dan Tehan, said the system failed Jesse. What have you done to ensure that it won't fail young vets again?
Well Dan Tehan was right, and Karen Bird, Jesse's mum, is someone I've got an enormous amount of respect for. I've met with her a couple of times now, and she can, I guess, take some little bit of comfort that her legacy in terms of Jesse's tragic death has led to changes within my department. So, for example, now any veteran seeking to make a claim will receive a veteran's payment now while their claim's being processed. Now, Jesse tragically passed away with very little money in his bank account because he wasn't receiving such a payment. So payment now is provided as a matter of course. Every veteran receives free mental health care for life. They receive a white card now, and that is one way we can address mental health issues more readily than perhaps in the past. We're providing now in excess of $200 million per year to support veterans' mental health. And I just encourage anyone who's listening to our program who has any concerns to make sure they reach out and seek help. And the Open Arms Veterans and Family Counselling hotline is available, particularly on a day like Anzac Day, 1-800-011-046, and it's there and available to provide support. So people like Mrs. Bird, Karen Bird, coming forward and telling us what occurred to her son has allowed us to improve the way we provide services. And I'm not trying to pretend there was anything other than a very tragic circumstance, but I just suggest the transformation underway in the DVA is improving our services.
Okay. And can I just ask you briefly, we're out of time, but not long before the Parliament was prorogued for this election, passed the Military Covenant What is the military?
The Veterans Covenant.
What is it?
The Veterans Covenant is something the ex-service organisations have sought for a long time. It is, I accept, a largely symbolic form of words, but what it is backed up by practical action as well. It's about making it clear to the community that we all have a role to play in supporting our veterans and their families every day of the year, not just on Anzac Day. And our approach is to have a beneficial approach when it comes to dealing with our veterans and not an adversarial approach. And I think the Covenant is all about explaining in a simple form of words how we as members of the community can support our veterans on a more regular basis. And in addition to government support, there's obviously great roles for the community and the ex-service organisations. We want to have a great partnership with them.
All right, Minister, thank you very much for joining us.
I appreciate your interest. Thank you.
Darren Chester is the Minister for Veterans Affairs. He's on his way to another Anzac Day service at Glengarry in Victoria's Gippsland as Australians across the country are attending. Some of you written in and telling about the dawn services in your areas. So thank you for that feedback. And that number again for the Veterans Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1800 011 046.